Well, good morning. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I have 2 weeks with you. So Lord willing, this will be a two-part message. If it wasn't for Ross last week, I would have had three. Yeah, but like he said, we have to fight for it. In case you didn't know this, he is a trained boxer, and I am not a punching bag, so there really is no fight. Actually, I appreciated very much the message that God gave to Ross to bring to us last week, and I was really challenged by it. Let's read our passage for this week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We have been going through a series on the Holy Spirit intermittently. And so naturally we're going to come to spiritual gifts. That's only logical. Most of the time when I hear discussions on spiritual gifts or I'm involved in them, it's like, well, let's look at the list. And then let's talk about, are they still all active? Has tongues ceased? And of course, there's always, how can I know what my gift is? These are typical discussions, but I'm not typical. And I'll tell you right up front, we may not go through the list. And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to discuss whether speaking in tongues have ceased or not. I'll leave that up to the intellects, those that are much smarter than me. But I will tell you this. What I pray God does is to help us know, understand, and believe that by the grace of God, every single born-again believer in Christ is gifted by Him. And therefore, it is necessary and essential for every single born-again believer in Christ to use their gift for a church to mature. I want you to be excited about this. Using your gift is life-changing for everyone that is God's child. Following Jesus and using your gift will bring you joy and peace. Using your gift will change your priorities in life. Using your gift will be edifying to the body. It'll be edifying to your brothers and sisters. It'll strengthen your walk and deepen your love for God. Following Jesus and using your gift will bring glory to Christ. Let's pray together. And Father, so now we come asking and pleading with you, Father, that through your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, our lives will be changed forever today. Father, I do pray your Spirit moves in a mighty way, that you take these words and these truths that you have given to us and you plant them deep within us, Holy Spirit, and seal them in our lives, that we may serve you and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message today is Spiritual Gifts, Part 1, Be Informed. Be informed. And Lord willing, next week it'll be involved. Be involved. Look back at our passage in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Well, there you go. If God, through Paul, didn't want the church at Corinth to be uninformed or ignorant, then he certainly doesn't want us to be as well. So let's get informed. Tell us about spiritual gifts. Verse 2. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So what's that about? Look at verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is where Paul actually starts writing about gifts. So what is that all about in verses 2 and 3? Verse 1, he says, now I wouldn't have you be, I want you to be informed, not uninformed. And then in verse 4, he says, now, here are the gifts. What are 2 and 3 doing there? They seem out of place. But in reality, they are very important. The first thing we need to be informed about is in verses 2 and 3. So we need to be informed that, number 1, spiritual gifts are for believers. Spiritual gifts are for believers. Paul says it in a unique way. And I suspect he says it in that way because of what was going on at that time. There were pagans. There were idol worshippers. And many of them were led astray. But really, isn't that the same as now? As it always has been? There are many different idols, but the result is always the same. Let's work through this and relate it to us. Verse 2. You know that when you were pagans. A pagan is simply a non-Jew. It mostly describes people who are ignorant of the true God. They don't know the true God. Which led to, well, look at it back in verse 2. You were led astray to mute idols. A mute idol is one that is silent. It doesn't speak. It is no good. It cannot teach. It does not help. It was carved out of wood or stone or whatever, and it was mute. It was useless. And they were led to these false gods, and they were useless, mute idols. It's a good thing that doesn't happen now. Are you kidding me? We have all worshipped idols. If you do not believe that, then you are fooling yourself. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all pagans being led to false gods rather than the true God. And then Paul ends with a qualifier. You were led astray to mute idols. You were led astray to useless pieces of wood. You worshipped as false gods. End of verse 2. However you were led. However you were led. It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter what the idols were. The reality is that you were all there, pagans, led to worship false gods. And we were all there as well, each and every one of us. It is important that we don't miss something in verse 2 before we move on. The truth and the hope here is the reality of their condition being past tense. They were pagans. They were led astray. However, they were led. But not now. Not now. Because of the grace of God and Christ, not now. Keep your fingers here and flip back a couple pages to chapter 1. Remember, the first truth we need to be informed about spiritual gifts is spiritual gifts are for believers. Let's see who this letter was addressed to and who Paul is talking to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes. Write that name down for your next son. Call him Saucy or something. Okay, and here is who the letter is written to. Verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. This letter was written to believers who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This message is for those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts are for those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were pagans. You were led astray. But now you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You call upon the true God. Flip back to chapter 12. So being led astray, being led is the key in verse 2. Who was doing the leading is the key to verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand. Let's hold up here. Therefore, I want you to understand should grab our attention. Paul in verse 1 says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Now he's telling us, I want you to understand. You were led astray. Now understand this. Be informed about this. Continuing in verse 3. That no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Notice all the 100% words. No one speaking in the Spirit ever says Jesus is accursed. No one ever in the Spirit of God would say that. And the opposite is 100% true as well. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So what's going on here? Let me ask you a question. Is it physically possible to say Jesus is Lord and not be a born-again believer in Christ? Well, yes. Of course it is. People say it all the time. And the sad and scary thing is religious, unsaved people say it all the time. What's worse, and the point Paul is making in verse 2 and 3 is this, not only are those cursing Christ and claiming to be followers, leading people astray, but even more dangerous are the religious, unsaved proclaimers of Jesus' teaching and leading in churches. This is an important distinction. Because if you say Jesus is Lord in the Spirit, then you are God's child. If you say Jesus is Lord and not a believer, if you say Jesus is Lord and not in the Spirit, then you are deceived and you are leading people into that same deception. You are deceived and you are leading people to false gods, most likely legalism. You are deceived and leading people astray. Spiritual gifts are for believers. We'll be back here, so keep your finger here, but flip over to Matthew 7. There is a mother and a child that I won't name. And I saw this child ever since she was born and know the mother a long time. And I would see the child maybe a couple times a year at best. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. And this child was very young. And from the time she was able to speak, every time they would say goodbye, the mother would instruct the child to say, I love you, to me. And this bothered me. I want people who love me to say, I love you. Say goodbye and tell Fred you love him. Really? You're 6 years old. You see me a couple times a year and you love me? No, you've been told to say it. You have been taught to say it, and you say it, but do you really love me? What we are looking at is the same things, brothers and sisters. And please examine your hearts and be careful. We don't say Jesus is Lord because we have been told to. We don't say Jesus is Lord because that is what we have been taught. We don't say Jesus is Lord because we think that's the right thing to do. We proclaim Jesus is Lord because the Holy Spirit is in us and he testifies with our spirit that it is true, that Jesus is the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what we already know, believe, and experience, that he is Lord. Listen now and hear this. Serving God in the Holy Spirit is a gift. Serving yourself in his name is damnation. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I taught Sunday school. I preached sermons. I cast out demons. I ran the sound system. I led worship, sang in the choir, played the guitar, the piano, and the drum. I cut the grass, cleaned the church, and counted the money. And I did all of these things while proclaiming Jesus is Lord. And thus saith the Lord, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness. Serving God in the Holy Spirit is a gift. Serving yourself in his name is damnation. Turn back to our passage in 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote to the church of God, those sanctified in Christ Jesus, those called to be saints in Christ Jesus, those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. I want you to understand spiritual gifts are for believers. And number two, there are a variety of gifts, but one triune God who facilitates. There are a variety of gifts, but one true God who facilitates. Let's read verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6. This section is beautiful, both in presentation and content. Verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Here we have the Trinity on display. Let's dig into this. First of all, the word variety certainly means different, but it carries with it a sense of distribution as well. There are different classifications of gifts that are divided up and bestowed to certain people. Also, in these three verses, the theme is easy to see, right? Variety but the same. Variety but the same. Variety but the same. So let's go through them one at a time. Stay with me here on this. It's interesting how each member of the Trinity is linked to gifting. It also seems like it starts with a detail and then broadens. Verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Variety of gifts. Gift here is a different word than earlier when it was spiritual gift. This word means to show favor, as in a gift of grace. It's receiving something of undeserved benefit. And the root of this word means to rejoice. So we could say it's receiving something of undeserved benefit, which leads to joy. Just as salvation is a gift that's and is something we didn't deserve, so are spiritual gifts. As we will see, they are a grace of God and apportioned and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So verse 4, the Holy Spirit takes a classification of gifts that are divided up and bestows them to certain people. And all these gifts come from the same Spirit of God. Verse 5, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Variety of service. There's variety of ministries. There is a variety of being a servant of God. And then look at who we serve. We serve the same Lord. We serve the same Lord. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ in a variety of ministries, being a servant of God in many ways, but we serve the same Lord. So verse 4, varieties of gifts apportioned by the same Spirit. Verse 5, we serve in a variety of ways with the same Lord. Verse 6 now. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them. Varieties of activities. And activity is an interesting word. It is actually where we get the English word energy from. It means to effect. To effectively accomplish a task, to work, activity. A spiritual gift is an effective accomplishment. It is an activity. We work for God, and it takes energy. But notice who supplies it. Look back at verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them. And how many does he empower? All of them. The same God empowers all of them. Listen now, there are a variety of gifts and the same Spirit apportions them. We serve in a variety of ways, but we serve the same Lord. And as we serve, as we minister, as we work for God, it takes endurance. It takes energy. And the same God empowers them all. The key is our triune God gifts us. That's the Holy Spirit. Our triune God leads us as we serve. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And our triune God empowers our activities. That is God the Father. Our God gifts us, leads us, and empowers us to serve him. I would not have you uninformed, brothers, understand this. One, spiritual gifts are for believers. Number two, there are a variety of gifts, but one triune God who facilitates. And we are not ready to move on yet. We're going to stay with our triune God as a facilitator for a while yet. But one quick thing before we do that. You know, some people look at the gifts that are listed in Scripture, and they say that this list is all-inclusive, that there aren't any outside of those lists. And to me, these three verses that we just looked at are more representative to what God is telling us. There are a variety of gifts and ministries and activities, and I don't believe they are all listed. I think they are given as examples, important examples, but not exhaustive. Okay, that was my commercial. Our triune God as facilitator of gifts. What I'd like to briefly do is go through a few passages and look at the jobs of the Trinity as it relates to this. Let's start with God the Father. We saw in verse 6, our Father empowers activities. And how many of these activities does he empower? All of them. He is not neglecting any. He empowers them all. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So God arranges the members of the body as he chooses. Gifts, and body members are closely related. Each member of the body, you and me, has a gift or gifts that he arranges as he chooses. Look down to verse 24 and you'll see this again. Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body. So God our Father arranges and composes the body as he chooses. He puts body members with gifts wherever he wants to. A couple more on the Father. Keep your finger here and turn to Ephesians 4. And while you're getting there, I'll tell you this from Romans 12:3. God assigns a measure of faith. God assigns a measure of faith. And you can find that in Romans 12:3 if you want to write it down. Also, listen to this in 1 Peter 4. God tells us this in 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. These are two things I learned this week. God the Father assigns a measure of faith and gives us varied grace. And we'll see that in Ephesians as well as we transition into Christ's role. So God the Father empowers all the activities. He arranges and composes the body. He assigns a measure of faith, and he gives us varied grace. Look at Ephesians 4 now, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Boy, if that doesn't relate back to Ross's message last week. with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Watch now, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We can learn two things here. We can learn a lot more, but for right now, we can learn two. God's very grace given to us depends on the measure of Christ's gift. And two, we can start our list for Christ. He is the gift giver. Christ gives. Christ gifts. And we can see that clearly again in verse 11. And here the he is Jesus. Verse 11, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So Christ is the gift giver. The other reality of Christ that we all know is that it is his body that we are a part of. It is his body. The other part of Christ we know of is he is the head of the body. He is the one we serve. He is our Lord. He is the head. Okay, I know I'm digging deep and this is getting dry, but it is important for us to know what is happening. Let's finish looking at our triune God and look at the Holy Spirit's job. Flip back to 1 Corinthians 12 and look at verse 11. Verses 8 through 10 is a list of gifts. So all these is gifts. Verse 11 starts all these. It's talking about the gifts in 8 through 10. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit apportions the gifts to each as he wills. So here it is. God the Father empowers all of the work. He is overseeing it. He gives the energy. He composes and arranges the body as he chooses. He assigns the measure of faith to each of us and the varied grace dependent on gift of Christ. God the Son gives us the gift. He gifts us. God the Son is the body we are part of. He is the body of Christ. God the Son is the head of the body, and we are led by him, and we serve our Lord Jesus. God the Holy Spirit apportions the gifts. He divides them up for certain people as he wills. He empowers the gifts to be used by us. There are a variety of gifts, but one triune God who facilitates. The Trinity is in action in the gifts. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. I want you to understand, one, spiritual gifts are for believers. Two, there are a variety of gifts, but one triune God who facilitates. And now number three, a spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that part of the gift, part of the goodness, part of the mercy, part of the love of the gift from God is experiencing his presence and his power? Don't take my word for it. Never take my word for a statement such as that. Look at it yourselves. 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us is a gift from God. Yesterday I just typed this. Right now as I type this message, I am overwhelmed by his presence. I long for you to know this. Because when the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself, the energy, the peace, and the joy are unmatched by anything. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us is a gift from God. So who can experience the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? The answer is quick and it is easy, but it is critical. It is critical, brothers and sisters. I saved it for here because I want and I desire and I long for you to be completely informed on this easy, critical point. Who can experience the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Back to verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. And in whom? Next two words out loud, please. In everyone. Who, again? Together. In everyone. In everyone. And in this case, in case this is not clear, verse 7. To each of the everyones is given the manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. This is not natural abilities. This is not trying hard in the flesh. This is the living God of creation empowering a gift of Christ through the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us. And if that doesn't get you sitting up in your seat, if that can't get you excited, if that doesn't motivate you to serve your Lord, then you better check yourself for a Holy Spirit pulse in you. God created us to experience His power. God created us to experience His presence. God created us to experience Him through the manifestation of His Spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, if you can say Jesus is Lord in the Holy Spirit, if you are known by God as His son or daughter, then He has given each of you the most amazing gift in Christ, the manifestation of Himself in your life. I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. God empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of His Spirit. Concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. I want you to understand, number one, spiritual gifts are for believers. Number two, there are a variety of gifts, but one triune God who facilitates. Number three, a spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the last one, number four, all of this is for common good. Look at it at the end of verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts are not for self. They are not selfish. Spiritual gifts are not for my good alone, though they are good for me. Spiritual gifts are not for your good alone, though they are good for you. Spiritual gifts are good for the body of Christ and for the glory of God. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and we'll finish up. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11. Spiritual gifts are good for the body of Christ and for the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen now, it's for the common good. Any manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us is a gift of grace we receive, and it comes from our triune God. Any manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us is the ministry we do will be while we are serving our Lord Jesus Christ, our triune God. Any manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the work we perform is empowered by our triune God. So what does this lead to? It leads to the reality that even though there are a variety of gifts and they are distributed by the same Holy Spirit, even though there are a variety of ministries, they are led by the same Lord, and even though there are a variety of activities and there's a lot going on, they are all arranged and composed and empowered by the same God, so that we can be and should be sure of this. All of God's children will be working together for the same common good, the building up of the church and the glory of God. May it be so at Country Bible. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for being here with us, truly in us today. And I know, Father, that your word does not come back to you without doing what it is intended to do. And I do pray, Father, for all the seeds that were planted through the truths we looked at today. Lord, it's my heart's desire that we would all experience you in this way. That whatever would hold us back from serving as you have called us to serve, Father, that you would just rip that from us in whatever means it takes, Father. Whatever means it takes, Father. That we would all be serving you, serving together, loving you, loving each other, and Father, being a light of Christ in a lost world. I pray this in Jesus' name.